Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We're here in beautiful downtown Baltimore, Maryland at my home away from home. We're at Fadley's here at Lexington Market. This could be our final show down here for the summer because we're moving over to Fishmonger's Daughter in Catonsville. And the Orioles might be moving out of last place. Who knows? But Luke will be here a little later on. Also going to have my favorite elected official in the state, probably replacing like a Jamie Raskin or a Chris Van Hollen. I know he'll like that. Sean Stinnett, my former intern, is now delegate and elected, duly elected official, Sean Stinnett. So he'll be here later on. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to be going across the Bay Bridge. I'm going to see the ponies in Assateague, but never Chicoteague because that's not Maryland. I'm going to the boardwalk in Ocean City for Mako. And where's the other one here? Somebody stole all my... Where are my fishes? Hold on. I had fishes. I'll find it. Blackwater Refuge, one of my favorite places in the state. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Maryland Treasures. We're at Fadley's having crab cakes. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Friends at GBMC are keeping me alive and spry and healthy, as well as Farnan and Dermer. And it is a little warm in here, man. I like wore jeans and I wore two layers. So Zach Dermer, I have to call him 410-367-7777. I'm going to put my fire out for my HVAC. Annie Millie is here. She is with Gold Secker Foundation. You may remember her from her perfect TV days as Live Baltimore. Megan McCorkle is now at Live Baltimore. So I talked to her about Enoch Pratt. You're now with Gold Secker. Uh-huh. And so this whole thing started when I invited Gallagher because he sent me this, which is what, Annie?
That is the Gold Secker Foundation's 50th annual report. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary.
It's a lot of years.
It's a lot of years. It's fantastic. We're very proud to be a perpetual asset for the people and institutions of Baltimore. And the report talks about our history, and it celebrates our grantees, and it's a big milestone.
Gallagher said to me, and I can read from my phone, and I probably should because he's governmental.
Okay.
Or was quasi-governmental. He told me, literally, did he tell you this? That if once you do the show, I'm never going to invite him back. Now, that's paraphrasing.
Okay.
I just got to find it. Here it is right
you
here.
Know, he's
on.
Very kind. He's always flattering.
Hold on here. The Meet Talk Annie Time Window Foundation Rockstar. Hold on. Program Officer?
Program Officer.
Now, he sent me another thing and said that once you were on, I'd never go back to him. And you, first thing you said to me is, how do you know Matt? And I went through the whole, like, I was going to run for mayor, Baltimore Positive, like, all that stuff. But here's the truth about Gallagher.
Okay.
He never took me seriously because, I mean, look at me, right? You know what I mean? So he and I said, I'm going to run for mayor. And he was one of the very few people that, when he spoke to me about it, was taking me seriously or pretending to. Even though he thought I was a little nuts, but he didn't try to talk me out of it.
Okay.
Like a lot of people, like everybody, was like, you're nuts. You're too white. You're not this. You're not that. You can't. You're unelected. Like, I'll hear all that. But he, like, talked to me, and I'm like, he's such a serious, serious guy, and he should be the mayor. And I thought, okay, he's kind of taking me seriously. And then we did a hit together here.
Okay.
We were at Fadley's over at the old Fadley's. It was, like, this time of year. It was 4th of July. And he was on the set, and Moeller was there, and we did a whole bit that there was a young lady at Fadley's on a very cold winter day who ordered one very small crab. She ordered one of everything. She was from Minnesota. She didn't know how to open it, anything. And I started to show her, and Moeller had a freaking conniption. He's like, you're showing her wrong. You're showing her the wrong way to open a crab. And I'm like, dude, I'm from Dundalk. I've opened 10,000 crabs, you know, not even facetiously. I used to pull them out of the back river in the Bear Creek. He got mad at me, and Damie got wind of this. And when the whole thing was over and I was done doing all my Annie Millies and all my mats and all the things I do, we did one stupid, not even for television.
Uh-huh.
It was on my phone. I set it up on like a coaster the wrong way, like the kids do it this way, not this way, right?
Yeah.
And I set it up, and it featured Damie's hands showing me how to open a crab Catonsville style, which apparently you don't pull the whole thing apart, you do it lollipop style.
Is there a knife involved?
No,
okay.
It's like magic. You got So the video we made seemed very innocuous to me. It was like July 1st, it was 150 degrees. I put all my crap away, way you saw me put it together. I went home, and I cut my finger. There's a scar right there. You see that scar?
That's pretty bad.
That's really the scar. I sliced my finger open doing it her way.
Okay.
And I've never, ever, ever done it the Catonsville way, the lollipop Look, way again.
You got to do it your own way.
Where are you from?
I'm from here.
You got a way?
I mean, I think
Where
I have a way.
Where are you from? Where's here?
Well, I grew up in...
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Franklin High School.
You're from Northwest... You're from Reisterstown.
I grew up in Reisterstown, Owings Mills. Yes, I know. And my family's been sort of... city mouse, all right. Country mouse, all you know,
it's
for
fun.
Many, many years, and I've been here my whole adult
all right,
life.
You know your way around a crustacean.
Yeah, I do.
You
absolutely.
Know what it's like to cut your
I've
fingers.
I've been soft shell crabbing. Have you ever done that? That's incredible.
No, I've eaten them.
Okay, you get up very early,
right.
Before the sun. You get into a very small boat, and you have to go along the shoreline with a net.
Tony Conrad has offered to do this with me.
Okay.
It's like, literally, take me out in Middle River.
It's incredible.
Literally.
And when you get to a dock, which you'll get to many, you have to lay down in the boat so that you can go underneath of the dock. And it's just like an incredible experience. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool growing up around here, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So I cut my finger while I'm bleeding all. I didn't have my equipment. I mean, I'm dabbing my. I can feel it now. Stinging. The issues in there, the J-O or the you
oh
know.
Sure.
So I'm burning. Went home, didn't think anything of it. The video's only on here. I put all the stuff that I do here on the radio and in the Cosmos. And I woke up on July 3rd. It was like Heritage Fair weekend, about 3 p.m. And I saw the video, and the video was kind of fun about opening the crab. And even though I cut my hand open, I put it up on Facebook, and I took a nap before I went to Heritage Fair.
Oh yeah.
3:30. At 6:30, I woke up that had 80,000 views.
Okay.
And then it accelerated into, it has like 4 million views now. You can put Nestor Crab video up, right?
Definition of a viral video.
Of all the things in my life I've ever done, for the next 18 months, I would walk the streets of Baltimore. People would yell, hey, Nasty. Hey, Ravens. Or as they say, ain't you the crab video guy? Dan Fadley's. So I had that going on. And then Gallagher, the next time he saw me, he said, you know how he is. I'll never doubt you again. That's what he said to me. So that's how I know Matt Gallagher. Is that good? Did I do a good job with that?
It's a great story. And it's no surprise that he was very supportive in whatever you were trying to pursue. He's a very supportive mentor.
He really was a very supportive man.
He is a very supportive man.
But he's never coming back on the show because you're going to be a better guest.
Well, we'll see about that. I'm happy to be there. I hear this. So thank you so much.
So I've gone up and down the river with Goldsecker. My audience may know. They may not know. What a foundation is.
Yeah.
I always say, let's go Schoolhouse Rock. Let's go. I mean, we don't understand civics in this country,
let alone
what a foundation represents and what old money, new money, and everything's foundations, country club. It's got a name on it. And everybody knows the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation.
Yeah.
I've been doing that since Ed Block 30 years ago, putting names on buildings. We have a guy running the country who likes to put his name on the building, whether he should or shouldn't. Give me the Goldsecker story, because I think folks... I'm inspired by it. I know a good person like Matt and a good person like you, you spend your days and nights making sure that this old money winds up doing good things right here, right now, the way it was set up to do, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a really inspiring story. So Morris Goldsecker, he came to Baltimore as a 15-year-old boy. He came here all by himself. It was 1914. He was escaping Russian-occupied Poland. He worked as a grocery store clerk and other modest jobs, just like most immigrants do. And eventually he built a real estate company that employed hundreds of Baltimoreans. It gave lots of people the opportunity to own homes. And when he died in 1973, he had an $11 million estate, and he left.
Hold on.
Yes.
I was to do the math. $11 million in 1973 would have purchased the New York Yankees.
That's
they were
amazing.
Sold for like $9 million. I'm giving you
that's good context.
I'm giving you a context of like what you could have done if you were a rich guy. I didn't want to say the word I was going to say at that point and gifted it to your kids who would have pissed it away or whatever would have been done with money.
Yeah,
with money. I mean, Leonard Raskin is my financial guy here, and he's always like, "What you can do with money when you compound it is you can create wealth for yourself or whatever." This is the other. side of this.
Yeah.
During my early, you know, he was leaving the earth and I was coming onto the earth.
Yeah.
And he was trying to help make this city better. Literally this city.
Yeah. And what he did was he started this foundation with his entire estate. And the same thing, the foundation has become a perpetual asset for the people and institutions of Baltimore. So that money has been invested in over 50 years. That $11 million has granted $140 million to 700 organizations. And we now have an endowment worth $150 million that we can use as an asset to support the people and institutions of Baltimore for many, many, many years to come. So
those
it's
just
pretty
like
incredible.
Big numbers and $150 million.
Yeah.
And then you put out this that says where it goes. So if you're accountability, imagine that.
Transparency.
You know, imagine that. All the things that Gallagher talked to me about in government if I ran the city. You've been at this a long time. Like, you come from Live Baltimore, which, talk about give the speech and the numbers, pretend Megan's not here and the numbers are updated. Megan, I'm coming to your party. I'm coming back from Rush in New York. It better be good. I know it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I'm sure it's
going to
be good.
You going to that one?
I'm not going to go. I did it for 10 years.
Your hair looks perfect. You should go.
Oh, my gosh. No, you know what? It's my husband's birthday weekend, and for 10 years, that poor man, he did birthday bash
he
for
ran
a very long time. He was our extra employee for sure.
All right, here's what we're going to do right now.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Even though you're not going and you're a little worn out on birthday bash.
No, I'm not worn out. I'm not worn out.
I'm going to take your spot.
Okay, take my spot.
I'm going to be you. My hair is going to be different, and I'm different gender, like all that. But, like, give me the vibe on that because Megan likes this. You know, it's a big smile. You're coming. And I'm like, all right, I'm coming. It's a couple Fridays. It's like the end of the month.
It's always the last Friday in July because
It's
a celebration of Baltimore City's birthday.
Okay.
The city's going to be 297 this year, I think. Megan can check my numbers.
You want to take a selfie of the two of us and send it to her?
Just
and
to
say,
troll her a little bit? No.
Just say, hey, we're here. I'm pimping your joint today.
No, she and the team.
Annie's eating your crab cake. Ha ha. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
She and the team are going to do an incredible job. It's a wonderful, wonderful civic event. I was there when the event started. It was a bunch of Live Baltimore employees, my colleague and friend Liz Kunst and I and others.
Did you make the shirt? I love City Life shirt.
No, I didn't. That was a woman named Carolyn O'Keefe who.
I don't own one, and I'm mad at Megan and myself and you.
Okay.
I'm mad at myself.
They have an online store. You can get in there. You can order your merch. You can support a good cause. I mean,
I'll be more positive. I gotta have something.
Okay,
I'm sure
they can bring. I used to carry the swag with me. I don't do that anymore.
You know what I found in my closet?
I carry
literally
around Gold
yesterday.
Sucker Foundation
I have all
swag
my
now.
T-shirts and all that, and I found the Beater shirt that I bought. On the corner where Pratt Street Ale House, Baltimore versus everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I have that, you know, orange and black.
I have one. It's
yeah, y'all,
not,
y'all
not
hers,
as,
I got,
not as polite
well, I
as
mean,
that one.
Yeah, the former mayor made that famous. But, you know, I guess for Baltimore, you come at this honest to want to make this sort of a move in the same way that Megan went from television to Enoch Pratt.
Yeah,
people that love Baltimore wind up moving around. And me, I moved from Fadley's to Coco's and even to the county, Pizza John's and Costas.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, like you're from Baltimore. Like, we love this place, right?
Love this place.
I love city life. That's why I want the shirt.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something about, like, once you start to get entrenched in trying to do good things here and you see success stories in various ways, and I'm sure Live Baltimore for you.
Yeah,
trying to get people to live here and love it, and I did. I lived downtown for 19 years.
Look, it was the best job ever. I was so happy to do it. I did it for 11 years. I'm laughing at your lottery tickets. Actually, I was in commercial advertising before I was at Live Baltimore, and the Maryland Lottery was one of my accounts. So
you didn't have a ticket as good looking as this boardwalk ticket here. This is perfect.
I once did we did a Ravens ticket, and I had to get Tony Siragusa, who was retired at the time and had been retired for quite some time, to put on his helmet. He was not happy to have to put that on.
I ain't putting this on.
Yeah, he did not want to do it. But yeah, that was
the goose doesn't wear a helmet.
That was a really fun photo shoot. Fun working on the.
Thanks for making me think of him. He makes me laugh. You and I were.
Oh, it was that was
Mumbai.
That was a great day. I remember doing races up and down the field, and that was great. I loved working on that account. But, yeah, commercial advertising was a lot of fun. But then I started to want to do more, and I ended up marketing the city of Baltimore. So I was selling lottery tickets, and then I decided...
I feel like I've been marketing Baltimore every minute of my life,
yeah.
Right? If you love the Orioles, love the Ravens, love the city,
yeah.
You want That's why we cheer for the teams. We want good things to happen.
We want good things to happen. So when I got the opportunity to market the city, it was just, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And I had so much fun learning about neighborhoods. I always tell people, Live Baltimore is like a PhD program in Baltimore. You get to meet people, go places that nobody else gets to go. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity. And actually, Live Baltimore is one of the organizations that was in part founded by the Goldsucker Foundation.
What?
Yeah. So that's the connection to the foundation.
That?
Yeah.
You know, people wonder how I meander in these stories, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, it's a cool story. I mean, so back in the 90s, there were passionate residents of Baltimore, including Carol Gilbert, who was the program officer at the Goldsucker Foundation. They were getting together. They were talking about their concerns about population loss, their concerns about neighborhoods that were in decline, and they wanted more people to come here. And so they were trying to figure out what to do, and they ultimately decided they needed to found an organization that was responsible for marketing the neighborhoods to residents, and that was Live Baltimore.
And we are such a neighborhood city.
Absolutely.
A lot of cities don't have neighborhoods like we have where people have been entrenched forever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Baltimore has such a rich... I travel the world, and certainly in our country, the depth of Lexington Market, we're now in the second one, right?
Yeah.
Memorial Stadium to Camden Yards, right? Like, whatever the harbor is going to be the next time, and I was bitching about that this morning, because we're going to get the All-Star Game here soon.
Okay.
And you remember the All-Star Game was here in 93.
I'm going
to Philly. I mean, part of the reason we're doing this is it's going to run during the All-Star Game next week. I'm going to be in Philly covering the game for us, because we're going to get the game, and I'm wondering, like, how does this impact Baltimore? And it's one more thing that we're all trying to do.
Yeah.
Which is, everybody is trying to lift the city in whatever way. And there's nothing that lifts the city more than having people live here, work here, and play here.
It's so absolutely critical to the city's success. And so, yeah, I started at Live Baltimore in 2013. That was the year that Matt started at the Goldsucker Foundation. And the very first project that I worked on was something called the Grow Baltimore Initiative. And that was something that Matt brought when he came to the foundation. It was a public-private partnership working with city government to try and figure out how do we get the city's population to grow. I worked on that project with Matt, and I joke I've been working for Matt ever since. And so when I had the opportunity to go to the foundation, it was just the greatest possible move I could make. My former colleagues are now my grantees. My former funders are now my colleagues. And it's just a really wonderful opportunity to make a difference in this city.
Annie Milley is here. She is representing the Goldsucker Foundation because Matt sent her and said that she would be better and I'll never... Matt, you're coming back, dog.
I don't know if I'm better. Am I doing okay, though? I mean, I'm no Matt Gallagher, but who is?
You're never coming back, Matt. It's done. Annie's going to be here forever. So you have this... this document,
yes.
Really, like, and it's an annual, it's 50th anniversary.
Yes.
But it really does speak to, like, all right, what do they do? Well, you can go online, you can read, all of this comes to life. In the old days, you only had this.
Right.
Now we have, like, a whole expansive online, click here, look here, how much money, it all registers for how many community organizations that I've driven by, that I will drive by as I leave here. Between here and the city line, how many I would pass if I just went up Park Avenue that have been affected by what you do.
Yeah.
What are you proudest of? If I give you 5 minutes to talk about it, what would you talk about in regard to specific things, not numbers that are available or how many community organizations, but like I'm sure that you feel things every single day saying, this is why I work here.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many reasons to feel good about working for the foundation. The foundation in its history, it was a major player in establishing Baltimore's philanthropic sector. The foundation played a significant role in the establishment of the Baltimore Community Foundation, the Association of Baltimore Area Grantmakers, which is now Maryland Philanthropy Network. We were founders of those organizations, which have really been
important. It's like a tree, right?
Like, oh my gosh, right? It's like a tree. It's amazing. And then all the organizations that we were part of founding, you know, I mentioned Live Baltimore, but there's many other organizations, Central Baltimore Partnership, Southwest Partnership, some of our community development grantees.
Where does this go? Kids, schools, education?
Yeah.
You mentioned the names of these places. All right, now what does... Pick any of the ones you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And I can have those folks on and talk at length. And I have at various points. But people would like to... If they're just driving around listening to me right now, hey, well, you know,
what
it's money.
It
it's money. What does it mean?
Yeah.
There's an Annie that works there that has community this and... programs that and events that, you know, and I guess around the city, I even think like summertime right now, and I have the folks from the Y on. John Hoey's a friend.
Sure.
Just my partners at Planet Fitness have free work for young people. So many of these programs target young people.
Yeah.
That really, I don't want to say it, we've failed over the generation since we lost Mr. Goldsager. But, like, that is at the crux of what we've been trying to feed forever, and the work's never done, I guess, right? Never
yeah.
Done, right?
Well, I mean, every foundation is different. You mentioned foundations that put names on buildings. There's a lot of foundations that do that. The Goldsager Foundation doesn't do that. The Goldsager Foundation, yeah, some organizations...
It's famous to me, but it's not from being on sides of buildings, right?
Yeah. I mean, so some foundations, they support capital projects, so buildings. They sometimes put their names on those. Some organizations support programs, so the work that organizations are doing. The Goldsager Foundation supports organizations.
Organizations, sure.
So we're really about providing the backbone support that allows great leaders, great people, great teams to do important things in our city. And so
you give $1 million to a place, they fund it then and run the program with that money through the year, and then they report to you to make sure that the money you're giving them is going where it's supposed to go.
Absolutely.
Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
that's important. And
Matt should be proud because he taught me that. So
well, yes, accountability.
I failed the accelerant test 2 weeks ago with Kate Barris, so you know, I try.
Accountability is important, and yes, we pay attention to what our grantees are doing.
I sort of know what Liv Baltimore does. I try. You know.
Well, we definitely want our grantees to be successful, and we'll do anything that we can to support them in their efforts to achieve their missions. We're primarily a community development foundation, and a lot of people don't know what that means, but I would say the most obvious thing that it means is that we fund organizations that are doing the work in neighborhoods to revitalize.
That government might not be doing or not doing enough of.
Or they're partners of government, really, right? I mean, we're all in this together. And so one of the biggest initiatives that we're involved in right now is the effort to eliminate vacant housing in our city.
Sure.
So a lot of the organizations that the foundation has started and that we've been able to continue funding and supporting those leaders, they're directly involved in the elimination of vacant properties. They're actually in there rehabbing houses.
That's not getting people to move in necessarily. It can be demolition, yeah?
But
your Liv Baltimore background, you'll know all of this.
Well,
you know?
Demolition is usually handled by the city itself.
Right.
But the organizations that are actually in there rehabbing houses, like if you've heard about the work that's happening with Rebuild Metro in Johnston Square, right? You take neighborhoods that were maybe 75% vacant and you get them down to less than 4% vacancy. That's the target.
Now you got tax base, schools.
You got
work,
everything.
You know,
it's
yes.
A virtuous cycle. When people move into our neighborhoods, when vacant houses are eliminated, when people move into those homes, it's a virtuous cycle. It's
value for everybody, all boats.
Value for everybody. Oh, yeah. And we need it. And, you know,
I remember going around Detroit when it was bad 20 and it got leveled.
Sure.
It was just a lot of dirt plots.
Listen,
at that point,
we can talk
that's
about
not
Detroit.
A bad place either. You know, that's not a bad place to be if that's what winds up happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I drive around the city in various arteries, and I would say this to Brandon if you walk by, and sometimes he does.
Yeah.
I feel like it's getting better, and
it's
I don't just
better.
Say it. And I left this. I live in Towson now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything like I'm leaving the city or any of that at all. We looked at living in all sorts of places. It's where we wound up. But I drive through the city in all sorts of places. And if I would have driven through there 10 years ago when I was pissed off enough to run for mayor, I come back and say, whoever's been running the place has done a good, certainly the murder rate, like all of that kind of stuff. And we have our other issues with the dirt bikes and the things that still piss me off. But driving around, cleanliness, safety, just things have been addressed here. Things are getting better, and I would say that to anybody inside, outside. I feel that way, and I don't have to say that because
yeah.
I'm the first guy to get loud when it's not. But I think on a general vibe thing, all that I talk about that we're doing and things that you're doing to lift it, whatever percentage it's gotten better, it's getting better.
It's getting better.
That's
and, you know, we've been here our whole lives. A lot of people come to the city new, and they land in Patterson Park, right? And they're like, oh, this is a great neighborhood. They have no idea that just 20 years ago, Patterson Park had extreme levels of vacancy. And at the time, the Goldsager Foundation was supporting an organization called Patterson Park CDC, which went through and methodically cleared the vacancy in Patterson Park. Patterson Park today is a thriving neighborhood, a place with strong home values, with great schools, with families.
And a pond with birds that I didn't know about.
Nobody knows about this pond.
Dude, I mean,
get in on it.
And during COVID, we couldn't do anything, right?
Yeah, you could walk around the pond.
I'm walking over to Michi's with tears in my eyes, trying to keep them in business, taking meatballs home.
I know.
Just trying to keep Nacho Mamas in business, and they're not. So, I mean, I tried to do all of that stuff, and that's how Baltimore Positive was born.
Yeah.
During COVID. And my wife and I walked over there one night, got a Verde pizza. Hi, guys. Love your pizza.
Delicious.
And we walked up the hill past the Ukrainian temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Ukraine maybe was getting bombed by this bastard. I don't know. Maybe not yet. But it was almost like a Disney World. Like, it looked like a Disney World set. And we had pizza in a box. And we pulled our masks down, and it was all bougie and whatever. And we're sitting in Patterson Park. And my wife's like, let's go for a walk. And the old me would say, it ain't safe to go along with everybody. You know, the old me. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, we'll walk over. It's still daylight. And I saw a pond. And I'm like, how can I be 52 years old
and
being from
learning.
East Baltimore?
Yeah.
And there's Bert. And there were koi. I'm like, nobody told me about this.
Well, right. And look.
Gallagher. So.
I mean, it took passionate residents, right? And it took strong leadership.
You can tell, right?
I can tell. Strong leadership, strong organizations, passionate residents. We still support the Friends of Patterson Park. The Friends of Patterson Park worked with Patterson Park CDC.
You know what? She's like, let's walk to the pagoda.
Okay.
So we were
observatory.
We were walking across, and I'm like, I ain't never done this, literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never walked over there.
Yeah.
I would have walked down Eastern Avenue and made the right on Patterson, because I'm a freak like that. That's the way the bus went. But that's how we did it. It was like, walk into the pagoda.
The city's parks were incredible during the pandemic, weren't they? We're so lucky that we have so much green space.
People are playing soccer and dogs and girls and bikes and yes.
Lake Montebello saved me, right? I live on Herring Run Park, so my front yard is Herring Run Park. I live two blocks from Coco's.
Chesterfield Park.
I shouldn't say that while I'm in here, but it's gorgeous over there. It's gorgeous, but the parks, man, the parks are such an asset. There's so many assets in our communities that are maybe, you know, not many people know about. That's what Live Baltimore's for. That's what a lot of organizations are for, and that's why the foundation's proud to support that kind of work, because we need to tell the story of our city. We need to have real progress in our neighborhoods, and we need to have strong and dedicated leaders that are making that progress happen. So that's kind of what we're trying to do.
All right, Matt Gallagher couldn't be here, and Annie Millie's here, and Matt Gallagher's lost his gig on Baltimore Positive. It's all over. You know what, though? He was a part of the 4 million video Facebook thing, the sensation we had on Facebook with Nestor Crab video.
I heard about that.
At Faithley. So he's got value. I mean, he got strong value, Gallagher. I don't know why. If this video doesn't have at least 3.2 million views, grant making, and like there's a whole page in here that you can read. All the fine print about 15 grand here, 80 grand there, 20 grand there, 50 grand there, 150 grand there. I can go on and on and on. It's two pages. Soccer Without Borders.
Yeah.
I've supported.
Incredible.
I'm just trying to see how many of the places that I've had on just through all itinerants. My goodness. Live Baltimore, Made in Baltimore. Jeez. This is incredible. So check it out. Website.
Yes, goldseekerfoundation.org. And we just relaunched our website in further celebration of the 50th. So you can go on there. You can find all kinds of publications that the foundation was involved with over its many years. There's a grants database. You can look up our strategies, how we think about our grant making. All of our grantees has a profile page. So if somebody wants to learn about the grant making that we're doing and they want to go on and support those organizations, there's ways to connect with those grantees. The website's really about celebrating the grantees, not celebrating ourselves. And it's just really a privilege to get to work with all these folks. We make about $6 million a year in grants, and those awards go to about...
Here.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. And those awards go to about 80 to 90 grantees a year. So those are the folks that I have the pleasure of working with and supporting in my role.
All right, I'm trying to find staff. Matthew D. Gallagher, President, Chief Executive Officer.
Yes.
Annie Millie, Program Officer. Christina Caldwell, Executive Assistant. Hi.
Yes. It's a small team.
So Gallagher couldn't be here. So what I'm going to do for Gallagher is I'm going to read his quote right here from the book here, because he couldn't be here. Decades in the making. Where is he on vacation?
He's headed on vacation.
I hope you eat something good. Back with a recommendation.
You know he will.
Decades in the making, property abandonment and population loss are two of Baltimore's deepest rooted and self-reinforcing challenges. You went through that. He told me you'd be a better guest than he was.
I mean, look, we're really excited about the opportunity right now to support the efforts to eliminate vacancy. The city and state are investing big amounts of money in this work. The state has committed $50 million a year. The city has a $150 million non-contiguous TIF. And there's organizations that are right now have capital that they've never had before to deal with this problem. We were really proud last year we brought, along with us, 10 other local and national foundations together to provide support for the organizations that are really on the ground doing the work. We helped collaboratively raise about $1.7 million. And all of that went to these nonprofits, these community development corporations or community development organizations, people will say. And, you know, they're bringing these houses back to productive use. They're making opportunities for families to become homeowners, to build wealth for their families. It's really important work, and, you know, the momentum right now has never been stronger behind it. So this is the work that I live for. This is what I was trying to achieve.
The heavy lifting.
Yeah, this is the work, man. I mean, this city is definitely on the rise, and we've had these, you know, amazing reductions in violent crime, incredible reductions in homicides, and now we're ready to just take off and do everything else we've ever dreamed of doing.
Which Maryland Lottery Treasures ticket will you be taking, Annie Millie? You have horses of of Assateague.
Horses.
And this was a competition last year. They did an artist thing. My wife is artsy. And it was artist interpretation of what makes Maryland beautiful and great. And these were the four winners. So we have the Bay Bridge, not the Key Bridge, to be confused with that.
Okay.
We have Blackwater or something, approximation of crustaceans and beautiful. You been to Blackwater?
I have not.
What kind of Marylander are you?
I'm sorry.
So you go you're always in a hurry to get to the beach. When you get to Cambridge and you go across the water where they do all the sloughing for the soft crabs.
Okay.
Right when you go past where the Tasty Freeze was, you get to the red light and it says Blackwater. It's one of the brown signs because it's like a state park thing. You make the right there, be the best 14 miles you've ever driven in your life.
Okay.
It's not that far.
I'll check it out.
Less than 20 minutes off.
So and I get then to the, pick
oh,
one
no,
of these?
I get your boardwalk.
Okay.
This is like, it's like Monopoly. Park Place, boardwalk.
Yeah.
Boardwalk. So anyway, which one do you want?
I want the one with the heron on it.
All right, that's good. That's the black. If you want, you got to go to Blackwater.
Okay.
That's it. I don't even know if this is a Blackwater motif. It has crustaceans, it has oysters, mollusks, birds, herons, and a beautiful crick. It looks a little bit more like that little town past Cambridge that you go over. What's that? I'll come up with it. Not Berlin. My buddy wanted to take me fishing there. It's beautiful. It's on Route 50. I'll be doing that for Mako next month. Annie Millie is here, formerly of Live Baltimore, now with the Goldsecker Foundation. Matt Gallagher is flying off to eat better food. I invite him to Fadley's, and he's going to go on vacation. You're getting two crab cakes out of this.
The man's earned a break.
All right, last thing, and I was fiddling with my phone because I want to make sure that I don't. I'm trying to stay on the right side of McCorkle here, right?
Oh, please.
While I have you.
Yes.
Birthday Bash is the 31st of the month. People tell me it's a hell of a party, and Annie's going to tell you why.
It's a fantastic party because the party is pure love for Baltimore. If you love this city, it is a party where you can dress up or you can come as you are. There are elected officials and business leaders and regular old neighbors all dancing together.
Put on your party hat and join your neighbors to celebrate Baltimore's 297th birthday.
Oh, I got it right.
At Baltimore's Birthday Bash.
Yeah,
the party of the year happens on Friday, July 31st, 2026, with special permission from the War Memorial Commission.
Yeah.
This year's Birthday Bash will be held at the War Memorial. What is that? Where's that?
It's down by City Hall.
All right. The 12th annual Baltimore's Radio Voice. The 12th annual, I don't like to do that. 1,000 residents, elected officials, sponsors, city lovers to celebrate it. You can learn more at livebaltimore.com. Event details are here. Look at Megan looking sharp in that pink dress. That's a magenta. Would you call that a magenta?
I would call that magenta.
That's magenta. Yeah. And become a corporate sponsor. Event details, ticket options, dance party, Baltimore's own DJ Tans, open bar. Woo,
yeah.
Uber, take me away. Light bites, birthday desserts from local vendors, and you get your tickets right now. It's $55, cheapskates. Let's go.
Well, you know what? That is by design. Everybody told us for years and years that we should increase the prices, and we said, no, this is the party for the people. This should be a party that people can afford. So it's the most affordable, highest-end fundraiser in town, and it's definitely, definitely worth going. And in fact, we had Birthday Bash here in the new Lexington Market before Lexington Market was open. So it was the first event ever held in Lexington Market. We had, I don't know, that year probably 700 people.
I might have been here.
Mayor Brandon Scott was our guest DJ. Were you here?
Yeah, I think I was here.
It was incredible. The mayor actually did a DJ set, and that was one of the most fun nights of my entire life, standing on the stage with the mayor. I was so happy that night. But, yeah, you know, it's just, it's really, really cool part.
I'm in.
Yeah. Good.
Celebrate.
Megan will be thrilled.
She's already invited me. I'm just trying to figure out. What do I wear? Anything I want?
You can wear anything you want. People dress up. People wear what you're wearing.
It's
you know,
be air
it's Baltimore. It's
I mean, the
Baltimore.
BMAG party, sometimes you sweat, you know, like, I would do the BMAG party every year.
I'm and sure they're concerned about the air conditioning.
I want to be in white and shorts.
Look, they have an incredible events manager named Misty Keens, and I guarantee you that she's taking care of the air
conditioner.
I look
like I played croquet.
Croquet. Well, it
I haven't heard that in a while, right? I gave that for the French because they were into the semifinals.
We play croquet at my house.
The little things?
Yeah. We got a backyard for it. Northeast Baltimore, man. You can walk to restaurants and you can have a backyard. You can
Classic
have it all
Classic Five's
in Baltimore
trying
City.
To get me out to hit a real golf ball, and I'm actually considering it. So thank you for being such a beautiful guest.
Thank you for being such a beautiful host. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I've loved it.
Goldsecker Foundation. You can find them at goldseckerfoundation.org.
Yes.
Live Baltimore, which he doesn't represent but always does because we all do anyway.
Always.
And all this cool stuff will be up at Baltimore Positive. My friends at the Maryland Lottery sending me out. Luke and I. Luke is... He's going to eat a lot of pizza next week in Wildwood. His nieces are now old enough that they can both hold his hands. So it's going to be great pictures. I'm going to bust his chops down here. We're going to get some crab cakes. We are at Fadley's. And as you can see, joints buzzing here. Birds are in town. Orioles are in town. All-Star Game weekend. I'm in Filthy all next week. Don't worry. I'm not staying. Believe me, I'm not. I'm coming back. A couple cheesesteaks. Maybe I'll gain some weight next week. Maybe cheesesteaks, pretzels. What do you think? All-Star Game?
All of it. Have it all.
I'm going to do it all up, man. Summertime in the city. I am Nestor. We are Baltimore Positive. Back for more. We are Matt Gallagher free forever now that Annie Milley is here. It's Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.